of talking about various halachos that pertain to Sheva Brachos. And we mentioned yesterday a major machlokas harishonim and achronim about whether or not the Sheva Brachos are considered to be a part, an extension, an addendum to the Birchas HaMazon, or should we assume that it is a totally separate entity. I want to continue with that today because there are some very important points that should be made with regard to that. The Torah writes in Birchas HaMazon, Hilchas Birchas HaMazon, when he talks about where this minhag came from to say the harachamans that we say at the end of our benching. As we know, the Gemara only mentions the four brachos that we have in the benching. The Gemara makes no mention of the harachamans at all. So the Torah is very surprised. Kasav achi harav Rabbeinu Yechiel, the Torah writes from his brother Rabbeinu Yechiel, shenagu laharech bebirchas hatova hametiv, that he has some sort of practice that people do, that they go longer in the last and the final bracha of the Birchas HaMazon, and they say, Harachaman b'kamagavni. They ask Hashem for many different requests, and they say, Harachaman this, Harachaman that, all kinds of different things. V'loyadati me'ayin bazet. And the brother of the Torah says he doesn't know where this practice came from. Laharbus b'bakasha bein Birchas HaMazon the Birchas Bor P'agafen. So you'll say, what's the problem? You can always offer a tefillah at any time during the day. However, the problem, the downside here is that you're benching al hakos, you have to make a bari pri agafen, and here you're having a whole hefsik, you're having a whole interruption between the end of the Birchas HaMazon of al yechasreinu, and when you're going to say the bari pri agafen by reciting all of these harachamans. So the brother of the Torah is a little bit concerned about this, and the Torah comes to the conclusion that there is no hefsik, it is not a problem at all, because he says, as the Levush explains, because we find, let's say, by Shmona Esrei, even though at the end of Shmona Esrei you're supposed to say, Osa Shalom Imramov, you're supposed to take three steps back, we have the practice that we add on all kinds of different tefillos, and if a person has a personal need that they want to add in there, they're able to do so as well. So therefore, he says, the same applies to Birchas HaMazon, that while you're finishing up the Birchas HaMazon, you're allowed to add on all kinds of different harachamans that you would like. And even though it's only a minhag, and even though it's not mentioned in the Gemara, this is not a problem at all. So the Prima Gadim points out that although this is something that is not a problem, it doesn't pose an issue of a hefsik between the conclusion of the Birchas HaMazon and the Bar Piagafen, the Prima Gadim does write that you shouldn't be talking in that time lapse, because you still are supposed to say the Bar Piagafen as close as possible to the end of benching. So if we allow you to say the Harachamams, that doesn't mean that we allow you to speak in between that time period. The Kaf HaChaim writes as well that it's tov shelo lahafsik, it's best not to make any hefsik between the end of Al Yechasreinu and when you say Osa Shalom Imramov. A person should go directly until the end of benching and then recite the Bar Piar Gafen. So what you see clearly is that the Harachamans is not Medina de Gemara. The Gemara never mentions the Harachamans. This is something that was a minig that came around later on, to the point that the brother of the Torah is not even sure where the minhag stem from. Who is the one who made up these harachamans, and where did they come from? I know there are people who, in Eretz Yisrael, they add on various new harachamans. Harachaman who, you know, that he should look after the chayalim, and he should look after Medinat Yisrael, and there are people who sometimes give dirty looks. What right do you have to make new harachamans? Well, the harachamans are not something that were written in the Gemara itself, so harachamans, I think we do have a right to add on our own personal bakashas, the same way there was a minhag to add on these bakashas. We're allowed to add on other kinds of bakashas as well. We do find, the Gemara does talk about one addition to the benching, and that is the Birchas HaOreach. The Gemara does mention that in Brachas Daf Mem Vav, when you are a guest at somebody else's home, you should be the one to bench, because you should be able to give over the blessing, the bracha, to the balabayis, and thank them for putting together the meal and hosting you for that delicious meal that you just enjoyed. And that's something that the Gemara does mention. So, because the Birchas HaOreach, because the blessing that is given by the guest is something that the Gemara does mention, and the Harachamans is something that the Gemara does not mention, this is why the Brisker Rav said that it's best if you're the one who's benching, you should say Tila Olam Al Yechasreinu, then you should immediately say the Birchas HaOreach, because that's really Me'ikar Adin. That's something that the Gemara mentions. And only afterwards should you say the harachamans. Because again, when you're thinking about the hierarchy, as we mentioned, the harachamans are only a minhag. The Birchas HaOreach is really me'ikar adin. It's something we have to do. So therefore, the Brisker Rav suggested that this is something we should do first. We should first say the Birchas HaOreach, and only after that should we say the harachamans. So that's with regard to the harachamans and the Birchas HaOreach. Now, how do you fit Sheva Brachos into the equation? Sheva Brachos is also somewhere in the way. So what do you suggest we do about the Sheva Brachos? So yesterday we mentioned that there was a major machlokas harishonim and achronim about whether or not the Sheva Brachos is considered an extension of the Birchas Hamazon, or should you assume that the Sheva Brachos is a totally separate entity that has nothing at all to do, it has no connection at all to the Birchas Hamazon? Right. Right, so the benching officially, based on the Gemara, the benching officially ends at Lo'olam Ayichasrein. Now, we have the practice that we add on until Osa Shalom Bimroma, but that is not Medina de Gemara. That's not what the Gemara writes. The Gemara says the benching really ends at Lo'olam Ayichasrein. So the Brisker Rav pointed out that because we assume, like we said yesterday, because we assume that the benching and the Sheva Brachos are intrinsically connected, because we assume, like the Rishonim wrote, really, Me'ikar Adin, you only need one cup of wine for both the benching and the Sheva Brachos, because really they're both deeply connected with one another. Based on that assumption, the Brisker Rav said as follows. You look in the Brisker Rav Sefer on Maseches Sota, where they quote one of his children as saying the following, Heid Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi, that's Rabbi Meir Salichik, is the son of the Brisker Rav, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak Zev, that he says, Kasher Maran Zal, when his father, the Brisker Rav, used to have birach ba'atzma ha-sheva brachas, when he was the one who was asked to bench the sheva brachas at a gathering, haya omram tekef achar birchas ha-mazon lefnei ha-harachamans. The Brisker Rav used to say it immediately at the conclusion of the benching, le'olam ayich asreinu, baruch ata Hashem sha'akol baruch vodo, right away. Why? Because the sheva brachas are me'ikar adin. The sheva brachas is something that the Gemara speaks about, and therefore the Brisker Rav felt that since this is a continuation of the benching itself, that should be recited immediately on the conclusion of Le'olam Ayichasreinu, and one should not interrupt with the Harachamans in between. Again, you can say the Harachamans afterward, but you should not say them in between the Le'olam Ayichasreinu and the Sheva Brachas that are going to be recited. Yeah?
Don't you have a little bit of a realm of competing claims here? Namely, we've defined, I think you said it was Bracha Daf Mem Vav.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the birka for the Baal HaBayit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from the Gemara.
Right, so the Brisker Rav, would say, Lo'olam Ayichasreinu, then he would say Birchas Baal HaBayit, and then he would go ahead and say all of the Sheva Brachas, but he would leave out the Harachamans.
Right. I wasn't sure.
Correct, that wasn't clear.
The birka Baal HaBayit.
Correct.
That seems to be the logical progression.
So you're correct. That is the correct way to do it. That's the way the Brisker Rav did it. And again, I think his argument is very logical, that because we assume that the Sheva Brachos is some sort of continuation of the benching itself, and this is something that is mentioned in the Gemara itself, as opposed to the Harachamans, therefore it should be done as closely as possible to the benching itself. And because of that assumption, it is safe to assume as well that one should be careful. It's something we are not careful about, but one should try and be careful not to speak until after the Sheva Brachos are concluded. Again, makes a lot of sense. You would never speak in the middle of benching itself because you say you're in the middle of Birchas Hamazon. If you assume that Sheva Brachos are a chelek of the Birchas Hamazon and it's just a addendum, a continuation to that which you have already started with the Birchas Hamazon itself, then it would stand to reason that a person should be careful not to speak until the conclusion of the Sheva Brachos. Now, we always have everybody schmoozing, everybody's talking, everybody's laughing about the mistake that this one made when he said the Sheva Brachos and how, you know, you messed up the niggun on that one, and everybody's always talking in the middle of the Sheva Brachos, but officially it would make sense that really one should try and not to speak until the conclusion of the Sheva Brachos, until the person has drank from the wine. Even if you reject that assumption, even if you don't assume that the Sheva Brachos are intrinsically connected with the Birchas Hamazon, there is still a reason to be careful not to speak until the conclusion of the Sheva Brachos, and that is based on what the Shulchan Aruch writes, based on our Gemara and Brachos. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Birch HaMazon Simen Kuf Pei Vav as follows, Misha Nasnu Lo Kos Levarech, once they give the person the cup of wine to drink and to say the Birchas HaMazon over the cup of wine, Lo Yasiach HaMavarech, once he picks up the cup of wine, he should not speak until you have finished the conclusion of the Bari Priya Gavan at the end of the benching. And the Mishnah Brewer there points out that goes not only on the person benching Mezuman, but that goes on everybody present who is a part of this Mezuman as well. Like the Gemara says, Ein Masichin B'Kos Shel Bracha. One should not speak when there's a Kos Shel Bracha there until the Kos Shel Bracha is drank from. So I think over here as well, this is something that we should be aware of. When we come to a Sheva Brachos, we shouldn't be schmoozing, even though we might not be the one who bench Mezuman, even though we might not be the one who has to make the Sheva Brachos. You'll say, there are 50 people in the room, somebody else is going to make it, not me. Still, since you are echad min ha-mesubim, you should not be speaking, you should not be interrupting at all with any speech until everything is concluded. The Kaf HaChaim writes very clearly, kishemevarchem alakos, when a person benches alakos at any time, ve'echad mibnei ha-chabura gamar birchas ha-mazon kodem shegamar birchaso, and one of the people, let's say we're benching mezumin, we have a whole bunch of people, you ask the rabbi to bench, he's taking an extra couple of minutes, the rest of us already finished. Still, says the Kaf HaChaim, you have to be careful, tzarach lizar shelo yedaber shum dibur ad sheyivarech hamivarech al hakos v'yishteh. You have to be careful, as one of those who joined into the mezumin, not to speak until that person has completed his birchas hamazon, and he has actually drank from that cup of wine. So I think the same would be over here, when it comes to a sheva brachas, we should be careful. Again, it's something we are not that careful about, but something we should pay attention to, not to speak at the time of the sheva brachas, and to wait until everything is completed. There's an incredibly interesting shaila. I mean, I thought it was interesting. I hope you will as well. That basically following premise. The Primagadim and other Achronim write, Reb Shlomo Kluger, the Primagadim, the Chida, other Achronim have the same assumption that even though generally, let's say you go and you eat Shalosh Shudas on a Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos, and you're going way into the Shkia, but since you started before the Shkia, you're allowed to bench after the Shkia, and you say Ritzeh as well. That's what we generally assume. It goes Basar Haskalas Hasuda, even though it's a Machlokas HaRishonim, this is what we generally assume. However, the Achronim point out, when it comes to a Sheva Brachas, on the seventh day, going into the eighth day, if you're not going to bench before the Shkia, you are not able to recite the Sheva Brachas at the end of that meal. Right? So that's generally what we assume. That's generally what we're careful to do. So last week I was at a Sheva Brachas, here in the shul, and they had miscalculated, and they didn't realize that it was already going into the eighth day, and they had called the Sheva Brachas for 7 o'clock. Now that would mean that we were going to have the Sheva Brachas recited at the very end of the meal, which would be at 9 o'clock, way after the Shkia, into the 8th day, and you're not allowed to recite the Sheva Brachas there. So they pulled it up a little bit earlier, they made it 6:30, but still, we would not be able to bench before the Shkia. So what they decided to do, without asking, this is what they decided to do, was that they were going to bench in the middle of the meal, recite the Sheva Brachas in the middle of the meal after the benching, and then they were going to continue later with the last course of the meal, and not have to wash again for that. Again, that is something that you have to be careful about because you're not able to recite the Sheva Brachas once the Shkia comes. You have to do everything before. So here's the following question. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in one of his Svarim that he came to his nephew's Sheva Brachas, and he says, I guess his whole family was Talmidei Chachamim, so his nephew and his father and his brother were talking about the following. They had this problem. They called the Sheva Brachas for 7 o'clock. It was almost the Shkia. And they didn't want to bench in the middle of the meal. We want to have a meal where we'll bench at the end, but then you can't say a Sheva Brachos. So what are we going to do? So you had the following idea. Why don't we have the meal as normal? We're going to bench at 9 o'clock way after the Shkia, but we're going to say the Sheva Brachos in the middle of the meal without the benching. That was his idea. And not only was this his idea, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that this is what they actually did. His brother had this chiddush that maybe you don't have to have the benching in conjunction with the Sheva Brachas. You can have the benching by itself and the Sheva Brachas by itself. So when you're stuck in a case like this, when you have a situation where you call the Sheva Brachas too late and it's going to spill over, it's going to carry over into the eighth day and you're not able to recite the Sheva Brachas once at Shkia already of the eighth day. So then, in a case like that, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's brother suggested that maybe we should make the Sheva Brachas right in the middle of the meal without the benching at all, just say it on its own. Very interesting chiddush. Obviously, it's not what we normally do. Generally, we wait till the end, but here we are in an emergency, you're stuck in a situation like that. He argued that this is what you should be allowed to do. Now again, it's a very questionable suggestion based on everything we've been saying. If you assume that the Sheva Brachas are intrinsically connected to the benching, you can't just say the Sheva Brachas on their own. You can't just have the Sheva Brachas standing alone in the middle of the meal, and then you're going to bench later on. They have to be closely connected to the Birchas HaMazon, and therefore that suggestion is a very questionable one. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach takes very strong rejection to this idea, even though he feels it's a brilliant chiddush and it's a very nice idea, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks it's preposterous to say such a thing, and he rejected the idea, mikol v'kol, and he brought the following proof to show that this is an incorrect suggestion. He brought the proof because the Achronim have a major shaila. I don't know who would get married the week of Pesach, I don't know who has time for that the week of Pesach, but some people do it. So what happens is a major discussion. What do you do when you have a Sheva Brachas on the night of the Seder? So what's the problem, a Sheva Brachas on the night of the Seder? Well, it says you're not allowed to have any more cups of wine in between the third and the fourth. You're not allowed to be Mosef Alakosas. You're allowed to add between the seh and the third because that's the middle of the meal, so you can drink and eat as much as you want. But in between 3 and 4, you're not allowed to. But we always have the sheva brachas at the end of the benching. So all the achronim are bothered. How are you going to have the sheva brachas at the end of the benching and fill up a second cup of wine and then drink from that one and drink from the other one? How are you allowed to be mosif alakosis on the night of the Seder? Major discussion in the achronim, what do you do? The suggestion is just don't get married the week of Pesach and you won't have the problem. I don't know. I would imagine most people wouldn't enjoy getting married the week of Pesach, but if you do, you have this issue. Says of Shlomo Zalman, why is everybody going so crazy about what we're going to do? How are you going to make the Sheva Brachas at the end of the Birchas HaMazon? It's mosif alakosis, says of Shlomo Zalman. One, you take the very simple suggestion of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's brother that you should have right in the middle of your meal, right in the middle of your Shulchan Orech on Pesach night, go ahead, take a cup of wine, make the Sheva Brachas not connected to the Birchas HaMazon at all, and you solve your problem. There's nothing to be worried about. Says of Shlomo Zalman, aside from the fact that I reject his whole suggestion, it's clear that nobody agrees with him either, because nobody suggested that on Pesach night when you're faced with this issue that you should do that. And from the fact that nobody suggested that, Reb Shlomo Zalman assumes that it is a clear indication that nobody agrees with this interpretation, with this brilliant idea of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's brother. Let me just leave you with one question to consider. If you assume that the Sheva Brachas are considered a part of the Birchas HaMazon in some way, so then what would happen in the following scenario? Let's say we have a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and we go ahead and we bench, and we say all the Sheva Brachas, and then we realize we forgot Ritzei, or we forgot Yalevi Yavo on Yom Tov. So we have to go back and bench again. Do you have to go back and bench again and say the Sheva Brachas again? If you assume that the Sheva Brachas is a different nature of benching, whenever you have a Suda Sheva Brachas together, the nature of the benching changes. Not only do we have to say 4 brachas, but we have to add on all the Sheva Brachas as well. So if I make a mistake in the benching proper, if I make a mistake in the benching and I forget Ritzei or Yalevi Yavo, which requires me to go back, does that mean I'm required to go back and recite the Sheva Brachas also? Or does it mean you're only required to go back and recite the benching proper and not the extra addition of the Sheva Brachas that you added on, the cover the Suda Sheva Brachas that you just had? It's an interesting question, something to think about, but I guess...